Thus far, I am surviving the pollen season. How about you guys? How is that yellow snow of a different sort? You remember the old phrase, don't eat yellow snow. In Georgia, where I live and serve, we have what I call the yellow snow of the spring, which is pollen. It falls, it coats our cars, it coats our driveways, it coats our lawns. It is bad. And I never had an issue with allergies up until I was about 30 years old. And then all of a sudden, every spring, I just started battling sinus headaches, throat, itchy, watery eyes, nose, all that stuff. And I searched high and low for remedies. I used over-the-counter stuff from the the drugstore. But ultimately, I saw somewhere, this is years ago, this is probably, I don't know, if 10, 15 years ago, I saw this little blurb on something called Manuka honey, M-A-N-U-K-A, Manuka honey. And it comes from, I think, the Netherlands or somewhere over there. And it's a specific type of honey that they say if you will begin to eat a spoonful a day before it gets really thick into the allergy season, that it will somehow, serve as a resisting agent in your body to all the symptoms of pollen allergies. And I think it's other allergies too, but for me, it was always pollen. And so I just began to do it. You know, I was a little hesitant at first because the stuff's like $35 a jar. But I was spending that much on, Sudafed or Afrin or whatever the stuff was, from over the counter. And I thought, let me just give something natural a try. And it worked. And so this year, got ahead of the curve again and have not struggled at all with any kind of allergies. But the pollen season is hitting Georgia. And I don't know what it's like where you live, but God bless all of you that struggle. I love the spring. I've said that on multiple podcasts already this year. I just love spring, notwithstanding the pollen and all that. But the beauty of spring and the coming to life and the fact that, resurrection is celebrated usually in March or April, but I see it in the visual. We've been working hard on our little piece of property up in Dawsonville, Georgia. We moved up there about a year ago, and this is our first spring and summer up there. And it's the yard was really, really neglected for several years. And so we've just been busting it. Spent way too much money on it just trying to get it done and, hiring people and then doing a lot of the work myself, planting and removing and, spraying and all that stuff. But now the yard's looking good. It's getting greened up. We got flowers everywhere. And it's just kind of a beautiful, pleasing to the eye thing. Amy told me last night, she said, I love looking out my big windows and seeing green and seeing flowers. And she said, it does something good for my soul. And she was very appreciative of, God's creation out there. I want to talk to you about a different kind of season today. I think it's very important for all of us that are following Jesus to be able to discern the season that we're in. You're going to go through multiple seasons of life. One of the benefits of getting older is you do start seeing the cycles and you can recognize, pretty familiar patterns of different seasons that come in and go out and come in and go out. And as you live, a few decades in the Lord, you're like, okay, I'm in this season. And I've experienced lots of different kinds of seasons. And when I speak on Mavericks and Misfits, I'm talking to a wide swath of people. We've got young people. We've got some older people. We've got people that are in vocational ministry. We've got some people who aren't even in church and don't, are just disillusioned with the American version of Christianity. And so I don't always have the ability to hit every person on every podcast. But I think when we're talking about the seasons of life, as followers of Jesus, I think all of us can benefit from this. And I don't have a lot of Bible or anything. This is just Jeff coming as your brother to talk to you today and to be able to, just kind of help you a little bit or at least to offer some help so that you can maybe adjust how you're responding in this current season of life. If I am not aware of what the season of life that I'm currently living is, then I may be responding to it in a way that doesn't make spiritual sense. God will take us through seasons to train us as followers of Jesus, to establish us in righteousness and love, to bring us into victory, and to teach us what it means to warfare with weapons that are not fleshly, but are spiritual. And also the concept of rest in the midst of exchanged seasons. And so I'm going to just give you some thoughts in particular about what I believe are some, these are not all the seasons. I can't give you all the seasons. Maybe there's highly likely that there are seasons I've not really experienced yet that maybe you have. But these are the, I think these are seasons for committed Christians that are pretty common. And I've got six of them. And then ultimately what I want to ask and answer is, how do we keep moving forward as followers of Jesus when different seasons, they contain different challenges? And those challenges are allowed by God into our lives to deepen us in Christ. But if we're not responding properly to the various challenges that are moving in and out of different life seasons or life cycles, then the enemy will try to use those challenges to derail us, to keep us from pressing forth, moving forward, from going on. For he'll keep us, try to keep us from enduring. And a lot of people, oh my goodness, a lot of people are giving up lately. Isn't it sad? Heartbreaking. And if any of you are on the cusp of just kind of cashing it in and just saying, I'm done. I can't do this life. And listen, it does happen to people. And maybe today I can just provide some insight that you're actually not in a place where God's asking you to quit anything, at least not the big picture. He can exchange some things. He can move you. He does, you know, move us in and out of different places, different ministries and things like that. But quitting? No, we don't quit. We don't quit on the Lord. We don't quit on the King. We don't quit on the church. We don't quit on our families. We don't quit on Jesus. We keep moving forth in these lives. So let me give you some of these. I'll start with a good one that we would all like to be in all the time. And I just call that a season of exciting momentum. There are seasons where the wind's at your back. There are seasons as we follow Jesus, as we serve him, as we press into him to know him, where it's just exciting. Like everything's going great. Those seasons are often seasons where God takes everything we've learned in other seasons, gives us the freedom, no obstacles in front of us, no heaviness within us. And God just kind of puts the wind of the Spirit at our back and he moves us along and we're able to get some significant things accomplished, or we're able to learn some deep things of the Lord. These are seasons that are often filled with revelation, wisdom, insight. They're filled with power, fruitfulness, breakthrough. New relationships are established and you have favor with God. You have favor with people. Sometimes you'll get favor on your finances. You'll get favor in your body. Old battles aren't getting you like they used to. You're walking in an awareness that you now have victory over things that used to trip you up. It may even be that your name's getting vindicated in a season like that, where people have misunderstood or misrepresented you, and God chooses a certain season to. As a matter of fact, I just had a friend of mine who, for 5 years, has been in a very real sense slandered. Not every day for 5 years, but a 5-year period where something was said terribly about him that was not true about his family. And for 5 years, he waited on the Lord to vindicate him and clear his name. He kept his mouth shut. He honored the Lord. He let God be his defender. But 5 years is not a short time to be misrepresented and misunderstood. And just a few weeks ago, God cleared his name. God had the primary person that was facilitating the garbage about him repent publicly. And my brother is walking in a season now of just knowing he doesn't even have to think about that anymore. He left it with the Lord. There are seasons, for those of you that are in vocational ministry, where you'll be aware of the momentum. That's a human word. It's not a biblical word, really. But there'll be an anointing that you're aware of, a favor that you're aware of, an increase that you're aware of. Now, the danger of this season is you think it's going to be like that forever and ever and ever and ever. You're always going to have favor with God and man. You're always going to have favor on your finances. You're always going to be blessed in your body. You're always going to have fruitfulness in your ministry. Everything's going to be the wind at your back. And truth be known, that is not the experience. God will give you seasons of exciting momentum, but most of the time, those things don't stay forever. A lot of people say, well, if you just have faith, they will. Well, actually, you don't need as much faith in a season of exciting momentum as you do in other seasons. Because if you're not challenged, faith is not over. You're not overly aware of your need for faith. It is in different other seasons that I'm going to mention where your faith actually grows the most. The seasons of exciting momentum are those seasons where you can measure how much your faith has grown. You can measure what God is doing through the increased confidence you have in Him. And so those are great seasons. I hope some of you are in a season like that. And I would say enjoy it. Don't apologize for it. There are going to be some haters on you. They're going to be jealous of the fact that you've got the anointing on your life. And you know what? Just leave them to the Lord. Love them hard. Just, you know, I love you. You're wrong about me, but I love you. I'm sorry you can't be happy for me in my season of exciting momentum. I'm going to love you, but I'm going to enjoy this season. Second season is something more familiar to a lot of us. Those are seasons of hard but rewarding labor. So this is very similar to the season of exciting momentum, but the work is harder. It's rewarding, but it's labor. You're feeling the pinch. You're feeling the weight. You're feeling the pushback. You're exerting. You know, people don't like to talk about striving. Matter of fact, they say, oh, no striving. You need to read Paul's letters. Paul talked a lot about striving. He did. And we don't strive in the flesh, but we do strive in the spirit. It means that sometimes the Christian life is extremely challenging work. I mean, like, it can be in the home. Like, oh man, we're having to iron out our stuff in our home and our marriage or with our kids, and we're having to iron out stuff in our finances. We're in a season of where we're going to be debt free. So we are not having any extra right now. Everything's going to pay off all of our debt. We're working really hard in the home, but it's rewarding, but it's hard. You know, marriage counseling, if the marriage needs a little tweaking or a little help, you go and put in the work with a counselor. It's hard, but it's rewarding. And then ministry, some of you, whatever you're doing for the Lord, a lot of times it's in a local church. It could be a parachurch organization, raising funds or praying and fasting over needing direction and wisdom. You're combating the enemy. You're combating people who don't see your vision the way you do. And so it's hard. You're having to have a lot of conversations and a lot of conflict management and things like that. You know what? I don't mind those seasons. I feel like I usually live in that season. Very, very hard work. And when I say hard, it doesn't mean that it can't be done. It just means it's nonstop and it's not superficial. Because kingdom work is spirit work. And it's heart work, and you're not going after superficial results. You're not doing it in the wisdom of man. And so normal situations that are handled one place in one area, you know, that are outside of the kingdom, like where the secular world handles this type of problem, you're called to handle it differently as under the Lord. And so those rewarding labors, you're busting it. Those can be exhausting, but you need to recognize there are certain seasons that God ordains that can last a year, maybe 2 years, where it is the grind. But even the grind, there's glory. Because if you're doing it in the proper way and again replenishing your strength in the Lord, it is very, very rewarding. I don't mind telling you, I love to serve the Lord. I serve the Lord by serving people. I love doing what I'm doing right now, talking to you. I love local church work. I love fasting and praying. The reason why I love them is not because they're easy, but because they're rewarding. And whoever has made up the myth that if God's in it, it should be easy, I just want to push back on that. You got to read your Bible. Especially the letters of Paul. What you're going to find out is Paul's works for the Lord took everything he had. Yes, Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. Yes, that's absolutely true. But that it's still a yoke. It's still resting on you. It still has some weight to it. So some of you are just in seasons of hard, rewarding labor. Please keep your eye on the rewarding part and don't start giving yourself permission to lament the hard part. Hard but rewarding labor. Third season, dry plateaued seasons. I find people that are in this season all the time. And it's so difficult when you're in a dry season or you've hit a plateau, because you watch people around you and they seem to be in season one with exciting momentum, or season two with rewarding labor, but you're in a dry and a plateaued season. It means you don't feel any wind on anything you're doing. Your spirit's a little dry, your soul's a little dry, your mind's a little drained, you don't have anything fresh going on, everything feels like just kind of a sigh. And those seasons are extremely difficult. You're not going up, up, up. You're not ascending. You're also not falling. You're not fighting. You're not flailing. There's no warfare. There's no glory, and there's no warfare. You're just kind of there. It's in those seasons where you're like, Lord, are you here? Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying? And God can go silent during the plateau season. It does happen. You know, never misinterpret God's silence as God's rejection. Oftentimes when the Lord goes silent during a dry or a plateaued season, he is allowing what he's already said to you, either in his word or just speaking to you through your own previous seasons. He's allowing those things to find their spot, to rest, to settle in you. And I found in my life, the dry plateaued season, for a guy like me who's wired to move, wired to talk, wired to conquer, all that stuff, the dry plateaued seasons are the hardest. I went through a very, very long season. I've been through at least three multiple year seasons where I felt somewhat dry and somewhat plateaued. And one was before I was I was a junior staff member in a church, and I went from everything I'm doing it turned to gold to basically my pastor put me on the shelf. No preaching, a ton of administrative work, no affirmation from the Lord, or like I didn't sense any, a zero from, you know, other people. And it was just like, show up, do what you're supposed to do, Jeff. And that was the first time I'd ever gone through it. And then I went through it again, maybe 5 years after becoming a lead pastor, where there was nothing happening. And those are the seasons where they're coming to you as the man of God. And they're saying, what's the vision? What are we doing? What's God saying? Where are we moving? How come nothing's happening? And they want you to have all the answers. And you're just sitting there saying, bro, I feel it just like you do, but I'm not going to make something happen just to, you know, satisfy the demand of people for me to make something happen. You got to wait on the Lord in the dry and the plateaued season. Dry and plateaued seasons generate a lot of time to think and sometimes overthink. And sometimes people get melancholy, and sometimes people misinterpret stillness for regression. And listen, sometimes God just wants you to be still. Sometimes you just got to stand with the Lord, that he's not sprinting, he's not climbing, he's not ascending, he's not stomping on serpents' heads. Sometimes the Lord just says, I want you to just sit here with me for a year. And you're going to do what I've called you to do. You're going to show up. You're going to render your best at every place where I ask you to render your best. You're not going to feel the surge of emotional affirmation. You're not going to have 1,000 emails telling you what an awesome job you are doing and how you're wonderful in the family or wonderful at work or wonderful in the kingdom. You're just going to learn to stand still with me when I stand still, and you're going to learn to look to me. You're going to stare me in the eye, and you're going to learn to trust my silence. And when you trust my silence, you're proving to yourself that you're resting in what I've already said. That's the key takeaway for a dry plateaued season. Will you remember what God has said to you already? Sometimes he tests your faith by removing every outward indicator that something great is going on. And he says, how about me in you, the hope of glory? How about you abiding in me? Is that something great? Is that good enough for you? And it's usually on the plateaued seasons where everything on the outside is drying up that God says, let's see if your spirit dries up. Just because there's no activity, no action, no hype, no wind, no fire, nothing. And God says, is it good enough for you just to be here on the plateau with me? Fourth season, seasons of fruitless labors. Those are hard. Those are very, very hard. That is different than the season of hard but rewarding labor. This is when you're exerting the same efforts, putting in the same investment. You're working hard, you're praying hard, you're fasting diligently, you're reading, you're walking in purity, you're loving well, and there are zero results. I think of a lot of people that minister in smaller churches. I think of a lot of bivocational pastors. There's a church up near where I live, and on occasion I've been able to pass by it where service times are going on, and there's typically three or four cars. And I've seen what I believe is the pastor mowing the grass. He's mowing the grass. It's just a small church in the middle, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I'm thinking that guy probably has a job that is paying his bills. And he's mowing the grass, probably leading the singing, probably doing all the teaching and preaching and visiting and marrying and burying. And he is putting in the work. And when he shows up on Sunday, it's the same three cars in the parking lot. It could be those of you that are laboring in the home. You're a mom, a stay-at-home mom, which is sometimes the most thankless assignment in the kingdom, that literally you're never done. You are never done. There's always something that is on demand for your soul, and you're tired, and you're working, and you're in the season of raising children. Amy did such a spectacular job at mothering our children. And now that Alicia, my firstborn, is a mom, she's able to circle back to her mom and say, now I get it. Now I get what you sacrificed. Now I get how you loved us well. Now I understand what I didn't understand when I wasn't a mom. And I think about those, you know, just, it feels fruitless. It's not that it's absent of internal fruit. It's absent of external fruit. You don't feel like you're getting anywhere. And a lot of hard questions rise up in seasons like that. A lot of people get froggy. They want to leap onto some new lily pad. They go, I got to find a new place. I don't think this is the place for me. Well, maybe it is the place for me, for you. Maybe it's God allowing you to find out, is it enough to be with him when there's no visible fruit? Because you've actually primarily been called to be faithful. And if you're faithful, there will be eventual fruit. But sometimes that fruit is a long time coming. And when we are laboring and working and giving our best and laying it out there, and we don't have a metric that is, you know, quantifying the validity of what we've been doing, you know, most the flesh wants to say, this isn't worth it. This isn't making a difference. My years are going by. The clock is ticking. The calendar's turning, man. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. Maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to do. Well, be careful of those fruitless labors, because again, ultimately Jesus is going to look at his people when we get to the place of reward, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ, and we'll be judged on two things, our faithfulness and our motivation. And if our motivation in a fruitless season is, I just am going to do what God has assigned me to do, and I'm going to do it with joy unto the Lord. I'm going to determine to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in me when there isn't visible fruit in my ministry or my assignment or my season. Can there be love? Can there be joy? Can there be peace? Can there be patience and gentleness and kindness and self-control? Can there be that in me? Because that is the ultimate thing that we're evaluated on. What did you do with what God handed you, and with what attitude did you do it? What was your motivation? So some of you just need to endure for a little bit longer. I'm a firm believer. I love hope. Hope tells me keep doing the right thing as unto the Lord and leave the results to God. And if you don't get that, let me just say, you'll be all over the map. You'll be bouncing around from one place to another where it's low-hanging fruit. And some of the best fruit in the kingdom is way up tall in the branches, and that fruit's got to get heavy before those branches come down to you where you can accessibly touch and pick that fruit and taste of it. I got two more seasons, and we'll be done. Fifth season, seasons of exhausting warfare. Oh boy, my word, that was 2022 and 2023 for this podcast guy. I know about the warfare. I'm not looking for another round of that right now. There's always some level of warfare, and the more that you have oriented your life to glorify God, the more of a difference you're making in the kingdom, the more that you are opening the eyes of the blind. I know God sovereignly does that, but he's using people to do it. The more that you're glorifying him, making him known, making him best in your life, well, you become a target for the enemy, especially if you're helping others step forward into their, you know, God-given destiny. The enemy says, oh, no, no, we're not going to let that go unresisted. And so the demonic realm, I doubt very seriously that I've ever been attacked by Satan himself. I'm not a big enough target. The likelihood is that there are principalities and powers and territorial spirits that are over and engaged in the areas in which I live. And they don't like what I'm doing. I don't mind telling you that. That's not a brag. You should be able to say the same thing. You ought to be able to say the devil hates what I'm doing with my life. And when the enemy hates what you're doing with your life, you'll be opposed. There'll be war on you. And the more you're in it, the more you can recognize the strategies of Satan. But I mean, he afflicts our bodies. He afflicts our minds. He afflicts our relationships. He'll throw any kind of turmoil he can at us just to move us out of responding in the spirit and get us to cooperate with his countermeasures as we respond in the flesh. And so those seasons of exhausting warfare, boy, they're exactly that. They exhaust us. I want to tell you this, not because I'm proud of it, but because maybe it'll help some of you. It got so bad for me. I hit the hardest level of warfare I've ever had in my own personal walk in 2022 and 2023. And it got so bad. And at the end of 2022, the whole summer was just a train wreck of just Jezebel spirit. Just I was getting just smashed by the enemy and using human beings for the most part. And I had to take 2 months. It was really about 7 weeks. And I had to unplug from everything with the blessing of my fellow elders at our church. I told it to the church, I'm taking the last. I took from right before Thanksgiving all the way through January, the second Sunday in January. I said, I'm going to unplug. I'm going to get some counseling. And I got deliverance counseling. And then came back to work in January, and then in February, I went through a four-hour deliverance session where the deliverance ministers at Safe Harbor, Beth and Tim Scott, they broke so much demonic stuff off of me, pulled out the shrapnel. Why? Because the warfare had been so hard that I couldn't get out of it myself. It's kind of embarrassing, but I'm just going to tell you, there are levels of warfare. You're not going to be able to discipline yourself out of it. You're not going to be able to read and study your way out of it. You're not going to be able to fast and pray your way out of it. God's going to let it get so intense that you hit this point where you're like, I have to have help. And those warfare seasons are really difficult. Sometimes it's not hitting you, it's hitting those you love. And you're the person that is absorbing everything that's going on with those people you love. Sometimes it hits your church. I know of a great church in a different state right now that has just been bombarded with Jezebel and the spirit of witchcraft and rebellion. Like this, these aren't just charismatic sounding cliches. This is real stuff, guys. These are real spirits. I don't care what you call them. I know what I call them, but rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And when that stuff hits a church and it gets in there, it's got, man, a massive work of God has to be to free those leaders up, to get them back on their feet. It's pretty intense stuff. Maybe you're in a season of warfare right now. My question is are you at a place where you can, and I'm going to be bold here, stop feeling sorry for yourself, stop waiting for it to go away, and fight back in the name of Jesus? Maybe you need to get some help. Maybe you need to get some counseling. Maybe you need to get some deliverance. You might want to look at jakekale.com, J-A-K-E. K-A-I-L, Jake Kale. Jake's got some great podcast material, some great written material. He ministers in deliverance, a very humble man, full of the Spirit of God, full of wisdom. I would refer you to Safe Harbor where I got mine, but they're 8 months backed up. That's how many people are needing deliverance right now. 8 months backed up. All I'm saying is the season of warfare exhausts you, and the enemy will try to take you out. You need to get some help. Last one is a season of transition. I'm just going to finish up here. Transition seasons are when the Lord starts weaning you from where you are. I've been through several of these, and one involved a geographical move and a move to a new ministry. And those seasons of transition, they begin with God starting to, he just kind of dilutes your heart about where you are and what you're doing. It doesn't even mean that it's bad. It just means you start sensing you're not really as connected as you used to be. He does oftentimes, especially in situations when God's moving somebody out of their church, God will start showing you things that you just aren't resonating with anymore. I'm not talking about the color of the carpet or the tempo of the music. I'm talking about like that inner spirit connection you used to have with all that God was doing there and what God was saying there and the people that were leading you and the people that you're serving. In those seasons of exciting momentum, you don't even think about leaving or transitioning out. But what God does is he'll wean some of that. Sometimes a year, maybe 2 years in advance before you transition out of there. It can happen at work. You can be crushing it at work, and all of a sudden you're not fulfilled there anymore. God has, I know people that have left lucrative 6- and 7-figure salaries to exit the marketplace and go and take positions of servanthood where they're making 80% less than what they were making in the marketplace. I know a guy who did this back in the 1990s or early 2000s. He left a lucrative job in the hospitality industry, and he said, I'm going to minister to children. And he took about an 80% pay cut. Still doesn't make that much money, but he's one of the best I've ever seen. And so those seasons of transition is when God says, I love you, child, but you're done here. I've got something else for you. Moving forward, this will be better for you. It is a new wineskin season, and the old wine and old wineskin aren't going to cut it for you anymore because I'm not blessing that in your life anymore. I'm going to bless others as you transition out. Those that remain are going to be blessed by me because I love them, but I want you to step further into our covenant, and I want you to follow me into a season of transition. Now, I'm being very careful here because I don't want to, you know, anybody to mistake me as God saying, you must go. That's not what I'm doing here. But what I am saying is if you walk with Jesus long enough, things will transition. Churches will change. They will mature. Hopefully, some will digress. But in a healthy way, a lot of churches mature, and the church that you joined 8 years ago, as God leads those leaders to step into the fullness in the future, those churches will change. And if you're bound and determined that, you know, you need to stay what and where and how you've been, the Lord will transition you out of there and maybe move you something into something that makes more sense for you. But that church doesn't have to stop. Sometimes God transitions a church. Sometimes God transitions the people out of that church. And so I think those seasons where God is moving you from point A to point B can be very disconcerting. They can make you feel like, man, I don't feel stable anymore. And the beautiful thing about a season of transition, as I close, is that a season of transition will expose your idols. We don't realize how addicted to comfort and predictability we are. We like things manageable. And seasons of transition, as God starts shaking you, you'll start realizing, but this is what I like, and this is what makes me feel safe, and this is my comfort zone, and these are my people, and this is how I do it, and I love this paycheck, and I like this amount, and I like this lifestyle. And God's like, I know you love all that stuff, but here's where I'm going, and I'm asking you to go with me. Will you transition with me? Will you move forward and into the next with me? And people of faith say, yeah. So that's 6 seasons. Exciting momentum season. Hard but rewarding labor season. Dry, plateaued season. Season of fruitless labors. Hard work but no fruit that you can see. Seasons of exhausting warfare and seasons of transition. Identify that season that you're in. It may be something I didn't list today, but you need to ask the Lord, Lord, what season is this? Usually look 1 year to 6 months behind you. And then analyze what's been going on in your spirit up until today and ask the Lord, what are you saying? How do I, except for the season of transition, the Lord actually, usually he just says, I don't want you going anywhere. I don't want you changing anything. I want you looking to me. I want you glorifying me. I want you waiting on me. I want you thanking me. I want you to partner with me. And only in the seasons of transition does God say, we're going to do something different. But for the most part, all the other seasons are just deepening. They're designed to deepen your relationship with the Lord in a new and exciting way. I'm going to sign off. If you guys have never gotten a copy of my book, Figuring Out As I Go, there's been a little bit of a resurgence lately with people asking about it and wanting copies of it. I'm a terrible marketer, but it's a very helpful book. And I want to encourage you, if you've never read it, it talks a lot about these seasons in that book. There's also an incredible amount of, I would just say, accounts from my own life and walking with the Lord as I figure it out as I go. There's just so much in there that'll touch parts of your life. And I think in the end, you'll come out motivated, inspired, maybe humbled and grateful for how God's worked in your life. But if you want a copy of Figuring Out As I Go, best place to get it is off of Amazon. You can buy it off the Transforming Truth website, transformingtruth.org. If you really want a copy, those are signed, autographed, whatever. But if you want it quickly, just get it off of Amazon.com and, tell me what you think about it. You can always reach out to me here at Jeff@MaverickMisfit.com. And I hope you'll continue to listen. If you guys are new and you don't know about Transforming Truth, that's the umbrella ministry. And transformingtruth.org is where you can find a ton of free resources, most of it video and audio, but all my social media links are there at transformingtruth.org. If you're interested at all in supporting Mavericks and Misfits, you do it by supporting Transforming Truth. I never ask for money on this podcast. It's under Transforming Truth, but Transforming Truth does run by free will offerings. And if you've been blessed and helped by what you hear in these podcasts, feel free, if God leads, to support Transforming Truth. Last thing, and then I'm going to get out of here. Kaneo registration is about to open up in the end of May. We're going to do a big push for New Year, the new year of registration. Do you know you can earn your degree from Kaneo Ministry Training Center completely online, on demand, working at your own pace? You can earn it, and these are high-quality teachings. This is Dr. Karen Smith, Dr. Philip Fields, myself. Then we've got guest teachers and instructors. You got Sarah Coker Sutherland. You've got Paul Johnson. You've got Jake Kale. I mean, God has really, really blessed the school. And if you're in a season where you want to grow and you want to learn, go ahead and go to Kaneo MTC, K-I-N-E-O, Kaneo MTC. C.com. Find out all that information there. I lead that school underneath Todd and Karen Smith, and we are purposed to keep tuition rates affordable. Yeah, it's a very deep and meaningful curriculum, and it'll help you in your walk with Jesus. So go to KaneoMTC.com. All right, my time's gone. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time on Mavericks and Misfits.